And again, some comments from to the ambassador to China, former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad. And, well, as we mentioned in the beginning, certainly a lot of various things that the ambassador has to deal with. But when it came to the question of, you know, the tariffs and the back and forth and, well, do we put more tariffs on now and how does China retaliate? Well, another one of the questions that was posed to the ambassador was, can we actually afford, from an agricultural point of view, continue to, quote, say, play a long game in terms of the trade tariffs and counter tariffs? And the governor, our former governor, now ambassador, answered that question.
That's a good question. I think the problem is we haven't done a very good job protecting our interests over the last, say, 20 years. The result is the trade deficits got bigger and bigger, and some of the fundamental issues such as the stealing of intellectual property and this transfer of assets has gotten worse. And so I think the administration has said the opinion, we need to bring these things to a head, we need to get those resolved. And I think the Chinese, at the end of the day, really want to have a good working relationship with the United States. They recognize that they can't produce enough soybeans or some of these food items, agriculture items that they need on their own. And so it makes sense, and it's in their interest as well as our interest of trying to resolve it.
And also then, with that having been said, the question was, we've heard in years past where they wanted to be self-sufficient in terms of agricultural production. And when asked that question, the ambassador responded,
I don't see that they can possibly, with the large population they have, and the limited amount of agricultural land, that they can ever be self-sufficient. I think they're going to have to continue to rely on imports of things like soybeans and other products as well. So I don't think that's a real danger. I'm just hopeful that we can overcome the present challenges we're faced and some of the long-term barriers so that this ag market, which has been a growing market for American farmers for the last several decades, can get back into a growth mode. And I'm sure that the potential here is much greater than it's been in the past, just because of the growing middle class and the demand for more protein.
And no doubt we've heard that over the years, that growing middle class there. So to follow up on those comments, the question was, whether or not, if we get this settled, what's the potential look like if we can get all the trade talks and tariffs and conflicts behind us? What would things then begin to look like?
We have over 350,000 Chinese students studying in the United States. I remember back when I was governor, literally having my picture taken with thousands of Chinese students that were at Iowa State, the University of Iowa, other schools in Iowa. And obviously that's a benefit to us. Also, their parents come to visit. They spend a significant amount of money in our country. So that's one of the things we benefit from. And we do have a surplus in services as well as in agriculture. And another area is Boeing selling aircraft here. So there's some, I think there's some other areas there's real potential too. Medical devices and pharmaceuticals. With an aging population and with their interest in increasing the health and well-being of their citizens, we have and Henan province, which is way down in the south. It's the island right on the south of China. They are opening up now a medical free trade zone. We hope that that is a precursor of maybe things like that happening throughout the rest of China. And also speeding up the approval of pharmaceuticals, which can be life-saving and can, you know, save lives and also improve the health and well-being. And that's something that can help the Chinese and reduce the trade deficit simultaneously. So I've been trying to suggest to the Chinese, these are some of the additional areas, in addition to agriculture and obviously agriculture equipment and aircraft and things like that, that make a lot of sense.
And likewise, of course, when we were in Beijing, certainly we've heard a lot about the air pollution there. Well, it was pretty visible. That wasn't the case in all the cities, but we've heard and understood that they wanted to develop more use of ethanol in China. And the question that I posed to the ambassador was, what's the future look like, and would they indeed get to an E10 policy in China in the near future?
My opinion is that could be a huge opportunity, because they have set a goal of 10% ethanol by the year 2020. And I don't think there's any way they can do that without importing substantial ethanol. Obviously, we're a low-cost, reliable producer of both ethanol and DDGs. And so if we can resolve these trade barriers and overcome the present duties that they're placing on both ethanol and DDGs, I think it's got a lot of potential.
And, well, what we saw, I would have to agree, and, well, kind of, I guess, based on what we saw when we went to a egg laying facility, saw some samples of the corn that they were using, I would say the potential for the corn could be very great going forward, as, again, for feed demand and the quality of U.S. corn. And, for example, one of the ports that we visited, they're planning to increase the size by 50% so that they can import more into China. And a very interesting and a big country and very highly developed, even though they consider themselves a developing nation. Certainly their infrastructure, the way they're building, just building after building after building, bringing people in from the countryside. And as we visited with various people there, the demand for U.S. products from the consumers, very high. So we'll just hope all the trade issues can get resolved. With that, we'll wrap up this special report.